Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. With us, we have Pat, a.k.a. Bub McAdams, the man, the myth, the legend, and making a big run for a catfish tournament here coming up.
Yeah, hopefully everything plays out in my favor this year.
You got your mindset on what baits you're using?
Probably going to keep it pretty simple.
Oh, yeah?
Can't really tell the competition what I'm going to be using.
Oh, you can go up and catch some goldeneye?
Yeah, probably peanut butter and maybe a loaf of bread.
Just put some stank bait on it.
That's a go-to.
Hey, might be... Why? It might be why you haven't quite reached the top of the podium yet, bub.
Yeah, a close second.
Do the stanky leg with the stank bait.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna have to try something up, I guess.
So, bub, a longtime friend, has also for many years. I mean, many years. Help guide at Monarch Rivers.
I was there a day or two.
Yeah, how long has it been?
Honestly, I can't tell you. It was quite a while.
Long time.
It was a stretch.
Well, I remember, so in the beginning, it was when we, it was around Haas's kid, right? Videoing for top 100 NFL quarterback ever. Jeff Hostetler's son.
Yeah, that was either my first year or maybe my second. It was okay. Right in that time.
Yeah, yeah. That was y'all got a nice little 8-point on film. It wasn't one that was a shooter, but it was a good hunt. And that's what I remember when I think to early bub, however many years ago that was. It had to be like 2016.
I can tell you it was very cold that day.
Yeah, right? It was. They came in the polar vortex. They were hunting with the Go Wild camo, which is awesome, but definitely not your late season blend.
Yeah, I was not dressed for what we had.
Oh, yeah. It was like, it was negatives. It was cold.
You did not want your hands out of your pockets.
So, was that your first guiding experience, Monarch Rivers?
That was...
'Cause I know you've done some waterfowl stuff for Heartland.
Well, yeah. As far as guiding...
Well, IRB and Heartland.
As far as actually guiding, yes, with Monarch was first.
Okay. All right. What... When you think about whatever year it was, like 2016 or whenever it was when you started doing that, how do you... What things did you take from your experience guiding and kind of add to your, quiver? What did you learn that just from experience or repetition or hunting through somebody else that you kind of incorporate with you when you go out into the woods or try and set up on something today?
I guess just kind of keeping an open mind on what you're going to do. I know a lot of the guys, when they'd come in, you tell them that you're going to put them somewhere, and they'd look at you like, how in the heck is that going to work? And then they're like, it played out exactly the way you said it was going to. And so now, like, if I get invited to go somewhere or if I'm hunting something totally new, I'll kind of try new things and see what happens.
Okay.
They were so in... awe that it actually went the way that you said it was going to, that why not take that home with you and go out and do something that you wouldn't normally do.
That's definitely a good perspective, because yeah, we give these guys advice on what's going on, and we wish the best for them, and it might be something that they haven't experienced yet.
Yeah, and then sit around, get back, everybody's in, they're talking about their hunts and kind of listen in the background, not really try to butt in on their stories, but you kind of listen and hear kind of some of the things that they talk about, and makes you want to kind of go home and put that in your play too.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of random stuff.
Yeah. There's guys from different regions do all kinds of stuff. Like Cole was on here and he was talking about their turkey calls.
Yep.
And he said he's got some guys back east that all they hunt with is they have a gobble call.
Mm-hmm.
Straight. I don't think it's straight strut, straight gobble. I don't know. whatever it is.
Nothing but gobble.
Yeah, their gobble call. He said that he's got guys that's all they use.
I fall very short in the turkey hunting woods, so
if
it's not somebody taking me out, putting me on them, I might as well stay home.
You're you don't have the curse like I do.
Yeah, that's true.
I can take you out. You get on a bird, we'll kill it. Everything would be great.
I believe that you're just scared of the trigger.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that. I've never really been afraid to pull the trigger. Well, there is this one time. One time. We're not going to go there today. But I don't think it's... I don't know. I just have the darndest turkey luck.
If it wasn't for somebody taking me out and putting me on them, I wouldn't have any.
Who do you've hunted a lot with Dave, right?
Yes, Dave has put me on some birds. I've got a lot of guys that have taken me out, and I appreciate all of them.
Right.
If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be. I would never kill a turkey.
I doubt that.
To run out in front of the truck.
Well, that would be better than my turkey curse. So let's back up in time a little bit prior to guiding. Young man, pup, growing up, what got you into hunting, man?
I was born into it.
All right.
Dad was packing me on his back through the woods and putting me out there and sitting blinds. I'm sure he didn't care much for our hunting experiences back then as far as me being quiet, because that didn't happen. Sounded like I was pretty loud from the stories I hear today.
I'm sure he's kind of adding to it.
Church it up, yeah.
Just for effect, y'all.
Had the boy with me, and he scared everything off.
Sure. So your dad took you when you were young, deer hunting mostly?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then... you got a beautiful young daughter.
Yep.
How old is Maddie Lou?
She's 11. She'll be 12 December 2nd.
Okay. And I know you built her a Taj Mahal of blinds.
Yeah. I never had a blind. And then it was all just climber stick stands. Then I wanted to start taking her out and built first blind. And then now I think I've got like 8 or 9.
Nice. How did you incorporate, like, what went into, all right, I want to get my daughter involved in outdoors and hunting? And
well, I mean, that was what I always grew up with, and so I've been very passionate about the hunting and thought, well, she's young and might as well give her the opportunity to kind of come up the same way I did, and she either takes it and runs with it, or she walks away from it. It's up to her to decide at that point, but I wanted to make sure that she was very comfortable when she was there.
Right, okay. But she's been a taker so far, right?
Yeah, she's not really much on the deer side anymore. She likes to go out and sit with me in the blind here and there, but she definitely likes her duck blind, goose blind, stuff a little better.
Okay.
She likes the camaraderie to sit around, talk to everybody, and get to breakfast.
That's awesome. All right. And then, so how did you, like, what did you do to kind of, you know, I got Brody, he's 5 months old. It's going to be a while. But when it comes to that time, you know, What did you proactively kind of set up a strategy, or did it just, this is what we do and we're going to see if she likes it?
Yeah, I mean, I just would ask her, hey, do you want to go out? You want to do this? I never tried to persuade her one way or the other, either she was going to like it or not.
Okay.
That was all her decision.
All right. And so she just seems to gravitate towards the waterfowl stuff, and
yep.
And then she likes to sit in the blind with her dad.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It doesn't get better than that. All right, so for you specifically, is there a most memorable hunt from your childhood?
There's so many of them. I can't say that there are really too many that outweigh another one. There's just a lot of really memorable hunts that I was on throughout my time.
Okay. Any particular species that just hit home?
I'm definitely big whitetail. I've always been about hunting the whitetail.
All right. So Big Pat, like bag a big buck and then all of a sudden we're hooked, or Big Pat took you out and showed you the ropes and from there it was a takeoff?
I mean, he killed a couple pretty good ones, but I don't think that really had anything to do with making me want to hunt.
Okay.
Just being out there, I just enjoyed it. Nice and peaceful.
All right. All right. And then, you know, we've talked a little bit, working man. It's hard to get all the time that you want in the woods. If you know, we shook the snow globe and all we could do is hunt one species, what would it be for you?
I'm definitely going to be deer hunting.
Okay. All right. Opposed to the coyote and waterfowl?
Yep. Those were just bonuses that came on later in life.
Oh, my gosh. That just makes you an even better friend. Because the amount of time and resources that you invest to your hunting, that just shows what a good dude you are, man. All right. So, when we talk about, you know, some of the food plots in the last segment, and, you mentioned you listened to a lot of podcasts trying to figure out what you were going to plant. What are some of the things that you, are learning that you've applied and have seen that's working for you in the woods right now?
I would say my biggest thing is I just become a little bit smarter about my hunting. Before, I was always, forget the wind, just go hunt, get out there. You're not going to have no success from the couch.
Yeah.
But then now, yeah, I still love to be out there, but if it's not going to be a good day to go get in where I want to be, I'll pick something out on the edge or I'll go somewhere else that's not really a priority for me.
Okay, like a burner spot, like the camera hasn't been producing, so let's go see what's happening for real.
Yeah, so I'll do that, and I feel like since I have backed off and not got like so in there that I have had more opportunities or I've seen more quality deer by doing that, not putting the pressure on.
Okay, and then you killed a nice deer last year. It was a unique deer.
Yeah, I was a little down in the dumps there for a little bit and pretty well hung it up for the season. Then had a buddy kind of pull me out and say, hey, let's go hunt together. And we were sitting there and we hadn't been in the blind probably 10 minutes. There's a deer over here bedded down. And by the time he stood up, and I mean, he took 10 steps and he was in the food plot. Shot it, and what was really crazy about the whole thing, I dropped him, but then he kind of got back up and stumbled into the creek, and he was down in there, and no sooner than he was in there, a bald eagle come out of nowhere and came down there and landed on and started picking on him. Like, it was so quick, it was crazy. Like,
no way.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it myself.
So you shot this buck, So, all right, back up. You guys got into the stand somehow. You're hunting like a tower blind, right?
Yep.
Over a food plot.
Yep.
Talk to me, like, the approach. What allowed you guys to sneak in there without alerting a buck that was bedded right next to the food plot?
Honestly, I don't have any idea how he didn't detect us, because, I mean, we parked far enough away. It was all a lot of walking, so he wasn't going to hear us, but we were walking out there in plain sight. Like, he should have seen us, unless he just so happened to be turned the other way when we come across there or something. Like, I don't know how he didn't catch us.
Dude was sleeping.
I guess.
Caught him sleeping. All right. And then it was, do you have a guesstimate on the age of that deer?
I have no idea. I mean, it's an older deer. I'd say probably on his way down.
Okay. Because he was a 6-point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but like a stud 6-point.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever kill a 6-point that big again.
All right. So that would, I mean, did you look at the teeth or anything like that?
It was such a fight getting that deer out of there. I didn't really care about any of that. I got it home, got it gutted and hung up. And then, honestly, from there, my dad took over, got it caped out for me, got it in a bag, and went to the freezer. And we're going to get it probably mounted.
Okay. I can't wait to see that. Who's doing the mount for you?
I got a buddy at work that's going and taking all the classes and going to get his license, and he's going to start mounting deer. So whenever the time comes, I'm going to send it to him. Let him have a shot at it.
Okay. With that, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. And with us, we have Bub McAdams, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that in the next week or so we'll find out if he's a world catfishing champion of the world.
Yeah, we're gonna find out for sure. I don't want to talk too much crap on it. But.
Well, I mean, it's not even intentional, but it's been an absolute blast just talking smack about this.
Yeah, that's definitely fun.
You remember when we were in Straight Home and that kid came up and he yelled, "Hey, you're the world catfishing champion of the world."
Yeah, I knew that you'd been talking that night as soon as he came up and said that.
He's a great kid. I've gotten to know him a little bit better since. But, like, he's a high school kid that I ran into maybe at the – I think he was working at the stand there across from the gas station. He's a great kid, but that was perfect timing. I mean, it couldn't have been any better. All right, so who's your teammate this year?
I got to keep the same one from the beginning, Cody. Okay. Hannikin.
All right. So, Hannikin. And then, are you guys going to do some pre-fishing, or?
If time allows it, yes.
Okay. Okay. And then, the tournament's on a Saturday morning, right?
Yep.
All right. And then, so that mean you'd have to pre-fish Thursday night, Friday night?
I doubt I'll be able to do that, but I'm sure he'll be out.
Okay. Are you going to go back to the same spot you guys pre-fished and then we ended up fishing and winning the tournament second year?
We're going to fish that exact same spot.
Okay. Well, we might tie up with you then. All right.
No, honestly, I have no idea. I don't even have anything mapped out where I even want to start.
Man, Bub the working man. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Another day, I guess.
Another day, another dollar. All right. So we've talked a little bit about, over the past, time, we've talked a little bit about the upcoming deer season. You're going to be hunting Calhoun, put some food plots in, talking about a little bit more in the timber. And then a little bit more about specific dates, somewhere there in November, right? What, when you put it all together, what's your ideal setup? What's your ideal situation when it comes to, this is what I want to do, this is how I want to kill?
I would say in between bedding and food plot and a, like in a pinch point.
Okay.
Where they got to come through a narrower area. Got them bottlenecked down to where you're going to have a shorter shot.
Okay. I
hate seeing them cross back and forth 200 yards out or something all day long. And you know that you're just completely out of the game.
Right. It's time to move the stand at that point or put up a new one. All right. And then with regard to November, we need to make any phone calls to prearrange your sickness?
No, I'm hoping by then that it's going to be pretty easy to get what days I need.
Okay. All right. Working that tenure over the next 60 days.
Yeah, I got a good boss. He's a good one to work for.
We got to get him and Jack around to talk about coyote hunting.
You're going to have to do a lot of twists in the arm for that, I'm sure.
I think we can figure something out. We'll create some type of motivation.
Best of luck to you.
All right. Fair enough. I'll take that. Take that challenge. All right. And then you had said, if there was one thing, if there was one tip for hunters out there, what is the number one thing you can do?
Number one thing you can do is get out and hunt.
Right.
If you ain't hunting, you ain't killing.
Right. And then talking about, you know, some of the guys that you've taken hunting and versus now when you go hunting. You know, kind of open up to that strategy and just get you. Was it Gata? No, that's a football. It's get your butt out there, whatever that would be. What's that acronym?
I don't know.
That's a lot of words. All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming, man. We appreciate you.
That was good being here.
Yeah.